This is John Floridis. Welcome to part two of a special two-part Musicians Spotlight featuring Bonnie Raitt. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm talking today with Bonnie Raitt. And Bonnie, I didn't ask, where are you calling us from today?
I'm up in Marin County in Northern California, about 20 minutes north of the Golden Gate Bridge.
All right, great. Well, again, thank you so much for making time to speak with us. As I said, I had opened up the Facebook page to some ideas for questions from folks, and got one from Marco, who's one of our local in Montana musicians. And you touched on this a little bit, and specifically your connection with Mississippi Fred McDowell and being able to connect with him. You touched a little bit on some of the specific techniques that you developed over the years, but maybe you can touch on that again. But more specifically, I like this question because he asks about the spiritual approach to songs and how much that, working with a guy like Mississippi Fred McDowell, how that influenced how you approach those songs spiritually and your music.
Wow,
spiritually.
I mean, to me, the spirit is so much a part and parcel of who you are as a person, you know, how you act to the loved ones and to the strangers you meet and how you are in the world in terms of giving back and what your belief system is to how we humans fit into the bigger picture and reverence for nature and reverence for other cultures. So I don't know what he means specifically. In terms of, I don't think he means gospel music versus blues.
If no,
means spiritual,
so.
He means like, how did I connect to him personally as well as musically?
Yeah, maybe, and just as kind of that, using that connection to spiritually engage that music, maybe.
Wow. Well, for me, I mean, I wouldn't sing or play a note that I didn't feel deeply, or I would probably just sit and read a book or, answer email. So by the time I engage some musical endeavor, I'm already plugged in on a level that I don't think about. It's just a whole soulful connection to me that now that I don't think I've ever been asked this before, but just the by the time you engage to play a song that moves you enough to want to learn it or play along with Fred or listen to his music, he's engaging my whole being, the deepest part of me. And when I'm
Sure.
playing his music or playing music inspired by him or with him, I'm also engaged. I don't see any separation between my hands and the guitar and my voice and my spirit and my sense of humor and my intelligence. It's all one, it's just I don't want to sound too woo-woo because I'm calling from Northern California, but it really is a fully engaged spiritual endeavor to play the blues and mean it. I mean, anybody that's just going through the motions ought to just set it aside.
Woke up this morning on fizz, around to my shoes. You know by that I must have had them while walking blues. Woke up this morning, people, I feel around to my shoes. Well, you know by that I must have had them walking blues. Feel like blowing my lonesome home. I got up this morning. This morning, all I had was some people tell me these worried blues ain't bad. You know they're the worst old feeling I'm on and ever had.
Bonnie, you mentioned connection, and the range of comments that I got on our Facebook page when I opened up to, "Hey, I'm going to be talking to Bonnie Raitt. What do you think? Give me some ideas." There were multiple. Tell her I love her.
Right back at you. To get to do this many years on and still have people feel this way is such an incredible gift. So let me just go on record as thanking everyone out there that still likes what I do.
Well, I'm just getting started here. There were very specific conversations that people remembered. One about kind of commiserating with a guy who's, my age in his 50s, but he remembers a conversation when he was 16 that he had with you about what it's like to be a redhead. There were lots of specific questions about Montana shows. Halloween
that
show in
kegger,
Missoula.
That kegger in Missoula.
Yeah, Aber Days. Yeah. stuff like that. Very detailed questions, as I've mentioned, from fellow musicians. There were a number of requests for dates. There was at least one request.
You mean like dating me? Oh, how fantastic.
Yeah. No, you could get a date off of
fabulous.
Our there was at least one request for an adoption. There was a greeting from Rob Quist, who was a Montana musician who ran for Congress recently, which you may be aware of. Very specific stories about your brothers living in yurts and seeing you practice there.
Oh, fantastic.
So a lot of this kind of stuff. And oh, this is another good one from one of our Montana Public Radio family members. Naomi asked how a normal girl like her could reach your level of, and I think I can say this on public radio, badassery.
Oh. Oh, I knew you were going to say that, but that, I'm so happy that's the word. Well, yeah. You know, I'm just a regular person when I'm not doing that. One of the fun things you can do is get electric guitar and, you know, plug it in and where people can't hear you and just prance around until you feel like a badass, you know. I mean, slide guitar looks hard, but it's actually really easy because you tune the guitar to an open tuning, which probably now on YouTube, anybody can access free guitar lessons, but not to put my guitar teacher friends out of work. But, you know, if you tune, it's one of the quickest ways to play along because all you have to do is just bar the up and down the neck and play by ear and, you know, just play a lot of badass air guitar and you'll be halfway there.
Some lover from some other land. Before the dust can settle, I'll kick it up and tear it down again. I got the wanderlust somewhere else to bust. Yeah, I'm just a hello goodbye, honey. It's been good and I must be.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Bonnie Raitt. Bonnie, how have you been able to continue to foster that kind of connection with your audience over these decades that you've had this wonderful career and which you've gone into great detail about talking about? And maybe the follow-up to that is also to keep a perspective, you know, maybe keep a sense of self, because that's a lot of really very sincere and true connections that you're having with your audience. And there's lots and lots and lots of them.
Well, it's the most precious thing about being me this time around in this life. I to not only have this much fun showcase so many great songwriters and other musicians who have influenced me that I adore. And in all kinds of subtle ways, the way Aretha creeps into the way that I sing, the way Lowell or Fred McDowell creeps into the way that I play, the way that I arrange songs, picking the musicians that I work with, picking the opening acts, to be able to raise money with the tour, the fifth band member, or all my social causes, and to know that, especially in light of what's going on and the cutbacks of so many organizations protecting the environment and human rights and civil rights, to know that those groups depend on somebody that wants to support them, and that all of our fans, you know, I feel there's a tribal sense of oneness about trying to contribute something to make this time on Earth a lot more, you know, compassionate and tolerant and awake and giving back. So that not only am I having a blast when I'm touring and preparing the tour and booking it and designing the sets and the clothes and doing the interviews, it's all part of the same blessing of being able to have those 2 hours where everybody gets to forget their troubles and have this shared experience of all these years. Whenever you came on board, maybe I'm singing a John Prine song that you loved hearing him do years ago in college, or you saw me 25 years ago, or, you know, you also got divorced, or you also got sober, mm-hmm. or you also lost your parents. So we're all one in that moment. And it's a holy connection that has, I hold it up to the greatest gift that I've been, and the greatest, I feel like I have a mission to uphold it and to honor it. And in exchange, people seem to still be interested and loyal, and they know I'm not going to coast. They know I'm going to keep digging and keep trying to find new ways to thrill them and myself. So, you know, my heroes have all aged beautifully and deeply in the music business and in the entertainment business. And there's no sign of diminishing when somebody is an older jazz artist or blues or folk artist. And it's only in the pop world where becoming older is scrutinized. So I'm glad I'm in the end of the entertainment business where people are just revered and appreciated more, as all of us should be as we get older. You know, if we, even if people are cantankerous and crotchety and into, you know, fly off at the mouth and shouldn't, you know, I don't mean in politics. I mean in the entertainment business, we have a responsibility to know that whatever we're going to say is going to have some pushback. But I think that I've gotten a really great ride for my audience understanding and appreciating me through the years, because I'm just reflecting them back to themselves.
A friend of mine, she cries at night, and she calls me
Bonnie, you mentioned social activism, and obviously that's something you're very well known for. Ed from Missoula wanted to know how that has changed for you over the years, if it has changed for you, the central core, or how you go about doing it, how it becomes part of Bonnie Raitt.
Well, early on, I knew that I wanted to use my voice and the opportunity to stand in front of that microphone responsibly to try to educate and not only cheerlead the grassroots groups and bring them and just make them feel great about the work they're doing, but to spread the word, knowing that the press isn't going to cover a lot of these groups if they hold a rally. If there's a famous singer there, then there are going to be more people showing up, and the press is likely to show up. So what happened after Nick of Time was all the causes that I've been working, you know, on the environment, saving a redwood, stopping oil drilling off the coast of California, stopping the, you know, No Nukes concerts, women's rights, Amnesty International, the South African apartheid, stopping the wars in Central America. When I won all those Grammys for Nick of Time, I could really make a big difference with the Rhythm and Blues Foundation I was working on. And when I would speak out for Planned Parenthood or different organizations for safe energy, for example, it really made a difference. And along with the difference comes people attacking me, because now I could really make it, I could raise money and really help elect people and bring attention and get the interviews I couldn't get before. So, you know, there's a real awareness of your vulnerabilities, but it just puts your feet to the fire. I mean, the people on the ground get no credit, get no money, get no traction oftentimes. And if the least I can do is to try to lend some attention to what the great work that they're doing and try to fundraise and get more people motivated to get the other side of the argument. Because there is no democracy if everything's bought and the other side isn't able to be presented. And as much as that's why public radio and public television are so crucial, and why the internet has helped, you know, get some really important information out. The problem is, as we all know, is that it's so polarized that everybody's preaching to the choir. So the polarization and the diminishing of the press and the center and the open debate and money out of politics, you know, that kind of thing has really changed activism. So it's, but in terms of how it impacts me, I'm still fighting the fight and doing as much work as I can do to try to showcase the groups I think that are deserving and the arguments that are worthy of being paid attention to. Whatever I can do to support presenting those arguments and supporting those groups, I'm going to continue to do. If people don't like what I'm about, they don't have to come and see my show or buy my records. But for those people that are on the same page and want to get involved, I'm really grateful to be able to provide that forum.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Bonnie Raitt. And Bonnie, this next question comes, again, from the Facebook page, and again comes from Montana musician Andrea. And she asks simply, what would you consider your greatest accomplishment or musical moment to date?
Wow. These are so cool. I didn't know I was going to get to answer questions from the out there. I think staying true to what I feel is the best music I could possibly do. And that means performance and picking the songs and the musicians. I'm really proud of having stayed with my gut and my instincts and my muse and not being swayed by commercial considerations. I think that has helped me last this long. And my musical high point, was that the other one?
Let's see, maybe musical moment.
Wow, that's a really hard one. When we were speaking about collaborations before, when so often
yeah,
people
no,
say, what was my
that.
Favorite one? I would say receiving from Mike Reed and Alan Shamblin the demo of I Can't Make You Love Me. That was probably the moment when I heard that song and it brought me to tears, and I just was so grateful that they sent it to me first.
Turn down the lights, turn down the bed, turn down these voices inside my head. Tell me no lie. patronize. Don't patronize me. 'Cause I can make you love me if you don't. You can.
BonnieRaitt.com, in case anyone is not familiar with the proper spelling of her last name, it's R-A-I-T-T, BonnieRaitt.com. Thank you so much for making time to be a guest on Musician Spotlight. And this time you didn't get away.
John, I really was so delighted to hear all these questions from and comments from folks out there. And I love being a redhead, wherever that guy is. And thank you to all of everybody listening. And John, thank you for being such a great host. No wonder you've lasted. Here's to another 20 years for us both.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Thank you, John. I hope to see you at our show. I know you're there in Missoula, but come on down, baby.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to part two of a special two-part Musicians Spotlight featuring Bonnie Raitt. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.